Short sermon. That's not really true, though. If I have to go off the PowerPoint, it'll be a longer sermon. So let's see what happens here. I invite you to open your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 5. Oh, short sermon. Romans 5. One through 11. What I want to talk about for just a few moments this morning, why I need Christ. Why I need Christ. In Romans chapter 5, Paul is writing to Christians. And he's explaining to them why the Old Testament and the law of Moses is not enough. The Old Testament explained to the Jewish people, to Israel, what they needed to do to be righteous, but they didn't keep it. They didn't keep the law, and they weren't righteous. If all we needed was a list of do's and don'ts, right and wrong, that would tell us how we needed to be, but it wouldn't make us right. Because we sin. We all sin. We all make mistakes. We do things that we regret, things we know are wrong. And not only things that we regret having done in the past, the sure knowledge that we're going to do them again. As much as we try not to, we're still going to do them from time to time. And that pretty much just dooms us. If all we have is law, if all we have is a list of right and wrong, then all that tells us is that we're wrong. That's just the truth. But that also shows that we need something else. We need something more. And that is what Christ provides. And that's what Paul's talking about here in Romans chapter 5. Let's read the passage. First 11 verses, Romans 5. Just read it together, and then I want to make some observations about it. Verse 1, Paul says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only this, not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. I need Jesus. I need Christ in my life. It's just the truth. We all do. Although most people, many people, too many people, far too many people don't acknowledge it, and they don't have Him. They don't have Christ in their life because they don't think they need Him. But they do. Let me point out some things that I need Christ for. Ordinarily, I just kind of I work through my points through my sermon. I'm going to give it all to you out there. Up front. I'm going to tell you right now why I need Christ in my life. Then we're going to look at the verses again. I can't bear the wrong that I've done in my life. I can't bear it. Now, we've all got things that we regret. We all have things that we look back on and say, man, I wish I hadn't done that. Things that we feel about, bad about. And there's no point in comparing them, whether my bad is worse than your bad or somebody else's bad is far worse than mine. It doesn't matter. I don't bear that other person's badness. I bear my badness. And my badness is bad enough. It's mine. And I don't want to bear it. I want to be rid of it. I need to be rid of it. And I can't be without Christ. I don't want to face God. And I am going to face God. And I don't want to. And I certainly don't want to without Christ. You're going to face God with Christ or without Him? I want to face God with Christ. I have a lot more hope in the outcome. I need His help. I need His help now. I don't need it just when I go and face my Maker. I'll certainly need His help then. I need His help right now. Life's tough. Just overcoming the bad choices I've made is bad enough, it's hard enough, but going forward, how do I face tomorrow? How do I face each day and make better choices? And I need His help. I need Christ in my life. I want my suffering to mean something. You know, everybody suffers. And again, there's no point in comparing your suffering to my suffering. I know that there are a lot of people in the world who suffer far worse than I do. I know that. And yet when I wake up in the morning, it's my suffering that I have to deal with. And what's the point of it? What is the point of my suffering if I don't have Christ in my life? Well, it doesn't really mean anything. It's pointless. It is as pointless as it could possibly be. But it doesn't have to be. Life doesn't have to be this progression of difficulties and challenges and disappointments. Sometimes good things happen and we're happy about that, but then there's this next thing that comes along and it just progresses on that way until you get sick of something and it takes you down and you die. And then what's the point of it? Well, without Christ, it is pretty bleak. But with Christ, my challenges and my sufferings, and especially my suffering and my challenges when it comes to trying to do good and trying to be a better person and the struggles that I engage in to become a better person, with Christ, it becomes everything. It becomes a thing of nobility and beauty and purpose because I'm going to succeed. Without Christ, I will. A failure. and my sufferings will be for nothing. And I want hope, and I want joy in my life. I need these things. And there is so much absence of it in the lives of so many people. I need Jesus because I need hope. And I need joy. I want them. And I want God in my life. And that's the bottom line. It's literally the bottom line. I want God in my life. I mean, you can either have God in your life or not have God in your life. But there's only one way to have Him in your life, and that's through Jesus Christ. What do you think the incarnation is about? It's about God coming down and becoming a human being to get into this world, to get into your life, to make a connection with you. He wants a connection with me. And that's accomplished through Jesus. It's a wonderful thing. I need Him. I need Jesus in my life for that reason. Now, that's my sermon. Those are my points. Now, let's go back and look at the passage again. Verse 1, Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith. See, everything that Paul goes on to say in this passage is predicated on one thing. You have faith in Jesus. And a lot of people will say, well, I just don't see it. Christ doesn't do anything for me, or Christianity doesn't do anything for me, or, you know, the message of the gospel doesn't do anything for me. Well, I can tell you why. You don't have faith. You don't believe it. And I understand that. If you don't believe it, then it doesn't mean anything to you. But you understand, of course, that faith is a choice. It's not like a bolt of lightning that either hits you or don't hit you out of the blue. It's something that you encounter and you think about and you listen to and then you make a choice. And there's evidence and there's reasons and I could go through all of them, but in the end, you know, you're the one who has to decide whether or not you're going to be convicted by them. And if you are convicted, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you can have all the things I'm talking about, but that's up to you. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith. And see, there's the thing. The thing. You know, I need Jesus in my life to do that thing right there. To be justified means to be just, to be right, to be innocent. And without Jesus, I am none of those things. I am not just. I am not right. I am not innocent. But with Jesus, I am. Through faith in Jesus, I am. And you might say, well, how's that possible? Well, he's going to get to it in a moment, isn't he? He's going to explain it. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is an amazing story. I have peace with God. Now, there are people in my life that I have not gotten along with, and I've tried to get along with them, and maybe I didn't try hard enough. I don't know. But there is one person that I got to make peace with, and that's God. I got to have peace with God. I don't know how I lay myself, my head down on my pillow at night if I don't have peace with God, because God is everything. And I got to make peace with God. And I can, and I do. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. How do you know? How do you know you're good with God and God's good with you? Well, there's the answer. There it is. You don't think it's possible? I don't know what this is all about if it's not possible. I don't know why God sent His Son to the world if it's not possible to make peace with Him, because that's why He sent Him. Verse 2, through whom, and it's through Jesus, I need Jesus, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. I am not a good man, I am not a great man, but I am, by the grace of God, a forgiven man. Because I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in Him. I believe in Him and I serve Him. Don't serve Him particularly well. And certainly I fail Him at times. But do you think the people to whom Paul's writing there, you think that they were perfect people? You think they always did the right thing? You think those Roman Christians were always exactly what they needed to be? Of course not. Nobody is. Everybody's got problems. Everybody makes mistakes. And yet, Paul says, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. That's what you can have in Jesus Christ. I need Christ. I tell you what, without Him you don't stand in God's grace. You sure don't do that. Without Him, it's only through Him that you do. Through faith in Him. But with faith in Him, you can. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. I boast in the hope of the glory of God. Yeah, there's a lot of things you can boast about. When we were in school, we would boast about how high we could jump. And I couldn't jump very high. Or we would boast about, you know, how fast we could run. Or we would boast about stupid things. And now today, you know, people boast about, you know, how much money they make or what deal, they got a deal. You know, it's always a good deal that you can boast about. It. Yeah, I made a good deal. To boast in the hope of the glory of God? When we sing these songs, we come here and we sing these songs about the glories of heaven, about going there and being with God. That's what we're doing. You know, we're saying, this is great. And I need that. I need that in my life. I need hope that I will come to see and experience and know the glory of God. And I can have that through Jesus Christ. Verse 3, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Now, hold a second. To boast about the glory of God and having the glory of God, that's one thing. Why would you boast about your sufferings? Why would you glory in your sufferings? Why would your sufferings suddenly become something that is good? Because in Christ, they become something. In Jesus Christ, our sufferings actually accomplish something. And He says so because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. See, the hope and the boasting in hope is not divorced from our sufferings. We say, oh, our sufferings are just horrible and terrible, and I hope I can get rid of them, get over them, so that I can get on to this glory thing. Well, you know, one leads to the other in Jesus Christ. One becomes the other. As I struggle and try to do the right thing and not always succeed, but, you know, again, ask God's forgiveness, and I push through this and I push through the next thing, and when I'm suddenly realizing what I come to know in Jesus Christ is that these sufferings have a point and they're going somewhere and they're making me better because they're making me more patient and they're making me more hopeful. And I need that because without Christ in my life, my sufferings are just misery. That's all they are. That's all they ever will be. And hope does not put us to shame. I need a tissue. There's one right there. Thank you. I get emotional about this stuff. It means a lot to me. I hope you can tell. Hope does not put us to shame. You know, there's a lot of things in my life that I have been ashamed of. I will never be ashamed of my faith and Jesus. He's not going to let me down. We're going to talk in a moment about why I know that. I can know He's not going to let me down. Hope does not put us to shame. See, a lot of people who don't believe, who don't have any conviction, and you know, all they think is that this is this world, and this world is all there is, and they make light of us because of our faith. They mock us, or they just say, "Oh, those people are a bunch of idiots and gullible morons." I got to tell you something. I'm not too impressed with what they're putting their hope in. Because I know for certain that everybody who hopes in this world is going to be put to shame. And I see evidence of it every day. It does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts. I have something. I have something right now. It's not just about the future. It's not just about judgment day. It's not about heaven and hell. I have something right now in my life. We talked about hope. But I have the love of God. The love of God in my heart. And that, it's magical. I have the love of God in my heart through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, I don't know how to define or how to explain the fact that we've got the Spirit of God. I'm not talking about anything miraculous. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues or rolling around on the ground. I'm not talking about anything like that. I'm talking about having my heart and mind changed as a consequence of taking in and accepting and believing and embracing the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I need that. I relish it. I cherish it. Verse 6. See, at just the right time. This is how it's possible. This is how I know. At just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, I don't know how to make this any more clear, that the thing that I'm talking about, this grace, this power, this wonderful hope that we have in Jesus Christ, it's not for good people, because none of us are good when it gets right down to it. Not good enough. It's for people who are ungodly. That's us. Without Christ, I am ungodly. And I'm powerless. And that's why I need Christ. And I've got Him. Because He came and He died for me. He died for this ungodly and powerless person. And I know that He did that because we're all godly, ungodly and powerless. And He came and He died. Who did He come and die for if it wasn't for the ungodly and the powerless? Because we're all that way. And He died for me. He died for me. And the fact that He died for me tells me something. Now, sometimes people will sacrifice themselves for others because they love somebody or they see value in them. But Jesus died for me, and I had nothing about me that was commendable. God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And I don't care what your sin is. I don't care, you know, again, it's pointless to compare sinner to sinner because we're all sinners. And Christ died for us. He died for all of us. That tells me that God loves me. Well, how do I know God loves me? How do I know that God even cares about me, or that any of this is even possible, and that I can make peace with God and I can have hope in Him? Christ died for me. He died for me. Even when I wasn't worth anything, I was worthless. Christ died for me. And you got to know that He did. Because this book tells us about it again and again and again. And the people were standing there. The people who followed Jesus, been with Him for three and a half years, they stood there and they watched Him die. They watched Him. And they said He died. He's a good man, never did anything wrong, healed the sick, went about preaching kindness and love. They killed Him, He died right there. He died for you. Don't you know that God loves you? Since we have now been justified by His blood, and that's why He died. He died to justify you. And I need that. I need to be justified. There's only one way I can be justified: to stand just, to stand pure, to stand innocent before God, and to be able to look upon His glory. Because let me tell you something. If you got sin in your life, and that sin stays on you, you'll never be able to look at the glory of God. You will be cast out of that place into eternal darkness, because sin cannot come into the presence of God. But you can, if you're justified by the blood of Jesus. But you know, if that happened, if that is true, then think about this. How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? See, what Paul's really talking about here is what Jesus is doing for us right now. Jesus didn't just die for us. He lives for us. Jesus continues to live. He was raised from the dead. He ascended up before the Father. He stands at the right hand of God. And every time I pray to God and I come into God's presence and I seek His help and I want to feel connected and close to God, Jesus is right there making that happen. How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? And I need that. I need to be saved from God's wrath, because God's wrath is real. Oh, it is real. And it's coming. And I don't want to experience it. I don't want to experience God's wrath. And I don't have to, because Jesus is there to save me from it. And He is saving me from it. And He will save me from it through my faith in Him. Verse 10, "For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son." And I tell you something, it just astounds me every time I think about it. The things that I have done, the things that I said, and how I've hurt God and rejected Him, and yet, all the same, God sent His Son to die for me. And knowing that He did that, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? He died for me. And if He's willing to die for me, how much more is He willing to live for me and to continue to help me, to save me? Verse 11, "Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." And that's, you know, that's what I boast in. I don't boast in it in the fact that I'm a good man or I'm a great man or that I do this or I do that or I'm a preacher or, you know, or that I'm a great Bible student. That doesn't mean anything. There's a lot better guys than I am, I can tell you that. But one thing I do boast in is in Jesus Christ and what He has done for me. And I need Him to do that. I need Him to do that. That's the lesson. Why do I need Christ? Because I cannot. And I don't want to bear the sins that I've committed. I don't want to. I don't want to face God without Christ in my life. I need His help. I want my suffering to mean something. I want hope and joy in my life. And I want God in my life. That's my lesson. Now, it's all predicated on faith. Obedience to the gospel. If you want God in your life, it's only going to happen through Jesus Christ. And if you want to name Christ and say, I believe in Him, and I repudiate and I turn away from sin in my life, and be baptized. And in that watery grave, the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. And you rise up, not a good person, necessarily not a perfect person, but a justified person. And you stand in the grace of God, and you have hope in your life. That's what it means to be in Jesus Christ. If you want that, come forward and say you will as we stand and sing.